Today I want to continue our month-long study on being thankful. You know, sometimes I think we don't realize just how blessed we really are. And we don't realize how thankful maybe that we ought to be in life until what we have is threatened to be taken from us. It is only then that we begin to reflect on our blessings and the way that God has blessed us tremendously if we think we may lose some of these things. I think it's fitting for us every day that we live to celebrate what we will be celebrating later on this month in Thanksgiving, because God has certainly been good to each and every one of us here in this room today. You know, it has been well said that gratitude is the source of all other Christian virtues. Now, that being the case, perhaps we need to reason this, that ingratitude may very well be the source of all of our faults as well. But you see, when we begin to take it granted for what God has done for us, we become callous in our thinking. We become prideful in our thinking. And we may even begin to think that, well, I did this myself. I have created my own success. I have given myself these things, and we give no thought to God, even as Christians. That being the case, my friends, God can no longer use us as His servant. For the Christian, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. You know, I pretty much say that every year when we have our Thanksgiving time. Now, in this passage of Scripture that we read this morning, 10 lepers met Jesus on the road. And they had a life-encountering event with our Lord. And when you break this story down to its simplest elements, the lepers on this road represent and describe every Christian that there is. Because you see, we are all outcast. We have all become outcast from the kingdom of God. At one time, we were all on our way to certain death. But then we had a life encountering change when we experienced Jesus Christ. And you know, while we should never look back on the pleasures of sin, and we all know that sin can be pleasurable, and even though we should never look back upon that fact, we should never forget that God brought us out of that. That God made it possible for us to get away from that and to be a part of Him. Listen to something the Old Testament prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 51 in verse 1. He said, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dragged." In other words, yes, we do need to look back and realize what we was. To realize that one time we lived according to the world. We lived according to the prince of the world. Sin was in our lives. Sin controlled our lives. And we were a part of it. Yes, we do need to go back and think about that. And then we need to think about the fact that God, through His love, through His mercy, through His generosity, took us out of that hole and gave us a reason to be thankful. We need to bring to mind the place where God in His mercy and His grace brought us out of sin. What is so significant about these lepers that were healed is the fact that only one of them returned to say thank you. There were 9 others who were healed that did not take the time to say thank you. And you know, in all likelihood, 9 out of 10 of us are guilty of the very same thing. We don't take the time to say thank you. Now, I know that when we come together here at this congregation, and almost every man does it, the very first thing, thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this life. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given to me. I love to listen to children pray because they'll get specific. Lord, thank you for the grass and the trees and the sunshine and the seas. And Philip was one of the world's best I've ever heard at it. I remember at his preschool graduation, he asked the teacher, what should I pray for? He said, pray for everybody. So that's what he did. There, I think there was about 15 of them. He goes down the line, thank you for Julie, thank you for John, thank you for Jacob, thank you. And he went down the line and he prayed for everybody. And then he continued to thank God for the grass and the trees and the flowers and the seas and all of that. I love that. Do we ever take those things for granted? I guess we do, don't we? 9 out of 10 of us never really pause to thank God for what we have. Oh, we may occasionally, but it should be a daily thing. The fact that you were able to get up and out of bed this morning is a blessing from God. There are people who are part of this congregation who could not do that this morning. And we need to be thankful for that privilege. There was an article that was recently written that gave some suggestions as to why maybe the other 9 didn't come back. Now, I know these are just suggestions, and they're by no means scriptural, but what they do, they give us a good look at human nature. So I want to share these things with you. This article said perhaps one waited to see if the cure was really real. Have you ever been given something and then just wonder, is this going to work? Is this going to do what it's supposed to do? I guess we've been there before, haven't we? One said, well, we're going to wait and see if it'll last. You know, something may work for a little while, and then it may not work after that. One said, well, maybe I'll see Jesus later. I got to get to the priest. He was racing to the priest because the priest would have to say to the official, you're free. And he wanted that to happen, so I'll see Jesus later. He's a popular fellow. He'll be around, and I can say thank you then. So they delay in their thankfulness. It says one maybe have said, well, he never really did have leprosy. It was a disease, though, that was quite evident when you had it. One may have said, well, I'd have gotten well anyway. With leprosy, no, you don't. The body cannot cure itself of leprosy. It still can't cure itself of leprosy. Perhaps one said, well, I will give glory to the priest. After all, it will be their word that will let me back into society. And then one may have said something like this, well, you know, Jesus, he really didn't do anything. He just talked. He just spoke. You do realize that the spoken word is why you are here today. The creation of this world is through the spoken word. Another one may have said, well, any rabbi could have done this. Any rabbi could say you're clean. But no rabbi could make you clean. Only Jesus could have done that. And then one may have said, well, you know, I was already getting better. No, you wouldn't. Because you don't get better when you get leprosy. You only get worse. Again, it is not a disease that the body can deal with. And yet there was only one who returned to give God the thanks. What I want to do this morning for just a few minutes is to share with you some truths from this passage of Scripture. Some things that I hope that will cause us to want to give God thanks in our lives. And not run off and not do it. First thing I want us to take a look at was the condition of the leper. Now, I don't know how accurate this picture is. He looks, this guy on the crutches, he looks like he's in pretty bad shape, don't he? We've all heard the horror stories of leprosy in the Bible. Now, I went to Eaton's Bible Dictionary, and it gave us this definition of the disease. Listen to this. Leprosy is the outward and visible sign of an innermost corruption. Small in the beginning, its gradual spread, its internal disfigurement, its dissolution little by little of the whole body of that which corrupts, degrades, and defiles. Now, of course, this is a physical description of what leprosy does. So it was a horrible, horrible disease to have. And it wasn't just the pain from the disease itself, but there was also the stigma of having to deal with this disease and what these people had to go through in society simply because they had the disease. Under the Mosaical law, a leper was considered as being unclean. They were not fit to enter the tabernacle or the temple for worship. So they really couldn't follow the laws of God because of their disease. They could no longer live with their families. The law required that they had to live outside of the city. You can go to Numbers chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 and find that. The law requires that they rend their clothes as a sign of extreme sorrow. So a society meant for these people to live in extreme sorrow. Their faces had to be covered so that, and they cry out unclean to everybody who got close to them. They were not allowed a social life. They could have no friendship with anyone. They had to be isolated, and they were treated like total outcasts. Leprosy was regarded as a disease which the Jews looked at as punishment for some particular sin. So they turned the disease into a religious factor now. And it was a sin that caused a mark of God's displeasure in them, according to the Jewish tradition. So if you were a leper, you basically lost everything. You lost your family. You lost your job. You lost your money. You became a complete social outcast. Note in verse 12 of our text, describes the lepers as standing afar off. According to secular history and Jewish tradition, they had to stand at least 100 paces from anyone that would walk up to them. They didn't even come close to Jesus. They stood afar off from Jesus. Now, the reason I've spent so much time describing leprosy is because I want us to look at it from another standpoint. When we think about our sin, and what sin and the devil does to us every day of our lives, the results are about the same as it is with leprosy. Now, I'm not going to tell you this morning that leprosy is the physical equivalent of sin. But there are a lot of similarities between the two. You see, as sinners, just like the leper, we are isolated. We are isolated from God. And just like the leper, we too are outcast. We are outcast from the kingdom of God. Just like the leper, we too are in the process of losing everything that we have in life. And we're losing it to sin. And just like the leper, we too are being destroyed by that which is in our bodies, the law of sin and death. So really, we are no different than the leper. If we allow sin to be that controlling in our lives, if we allow sin to be that strong within us, we are no different than the leper. And the saddest thing about it, in of ourselves, there's nothing we can do about it. Because we cannot defend or destroy sin on our own. Just like the lepers could not cure themselves of that dreaded disease. Now I want us to listen or take a notice of the leper's cry. Verse 13, it says that Jesus was about to enter the city, and that the lepers who stood afar off began to cry, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, why do you think those 10 men stood there on the side of that road and said, "Master, have mercy on us"? The reason they did that is because that was all they could do. There was no doctor that could heal them. There was no medicine that could help them. And they knew who was walking down that street. They said, "Jesus, Master, I know who you are. I know what you've been doing. Can you help us? You can do for us what you have done for others. Lord, have mercy on us." They were completely helpless. You know, we like to think that we're all self-sufficient, don't we? We like to think that we can go to work every day and we can come home at night and we can pay our bills and we can relax and we can live a really good life because we have set that up for ourselves. And we think of ourselves as self-sufficient. But let me tell you something, friend. The truth is that alone, without God, we are nothing in this world. Because without God, we will end up just like the world. You know, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." You know why Christ died for the ungodly? Because there's nothing the ungodly can do of himself. We're in a position that all we can do is cry, "Father, have mercy on us, because I can't do anything about this." And we've all been in situations where we feel like there's nothing we can do to make a situation better in life. We've all been there. And usually we find ourselves, like it or not, crying for help. We're helpless. You know, the Greek word for mercy is eleito, which simply means to have compassion on someone. These men were literally begging for the Lord to have compassion on them. Their complete hope, their only hope, was in Jesus Christ. Everything had come down to this moment. Their leprosy was getting worse day by day. It would never get any better. It would only get worse until it took their life. And now they have an opportunity because they see the one coming down the street who can actually do something about it. This was their one chance. So they begged for mercy. And Jesus responded to that. Jesus had compassion on them. And told them to go to present themselves to the priest, as the law had commanded. Notice that he said, "as the law had commanded." Now, why did he tell them that? Why didn't he just wave his hand at those 10 men and say, "Okay, you're free of leprosy, heal them on the spot and send them on their way"? Why didn't he do that? We know on other occasions that he had healed people that way, just telling them, "You're well, move on." The reason is because faith always requires action. Faith without works is what? Dead. These 10 men, even though they were dying physically, If they had faith enough to ask God for mercy, they would have had faith enough to do what he commanded them to do, and that's what they had to do. Naaman of the Old Testament, he was told to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. If he had not dipped that 7th time in the River Jordan, he would have died with his leprosy. Because his faith required action. Yes, God can heal you of this. But there is something that you must do as well. The story of the leper in Matthew chapter 8 who came to Jesus confessing faith, Jesus healed him just by touching him. His faith was there. So these men went to the priest by faith, and they were healed. They heard the word of Christ. They believed it, and they were healed. This is faith. They acted upon their faith. But there's one little difference in all of these men. We are told that as they began their journey to the priest, and I can just see them all running off at top speed trying to get there, excited. The significant thing about this is that there was one of them who reacted differently than the other 9. When that one man saw that when he was running down the road to the priest, that he was being healed, that he had been healed, he turned back to thank the one who had done it for them. He came to Jesus and gave thanks. Now, I want to suggest 3 reasons that he did this. Number one, first of all, he perceived that he had been healed. He noticed that he had been healed. Did the other 9 look down at their hands and see him beginning to clear up? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But it does tell us that this one man, he looked down at his body and he saw that his body was recovering from this disease, that he was being healed of this disease. And he took the time to note that he had been blessed. He took the time to realize that something wonderful has happened to him. Something that would not have happened had he not cried, "Father, have mercy on me." Sometimes I wonder, do we really perceive the ways that God blesses us in life? Do we really stop and take the time to note that when something goes our way that was not of our own doing, to maybe thank the one that had it done? There's not a person in this room that's hungry. Well, you may be ready for lunch. I don't know, but you're not starving. There's not a person in here that's hungry. There's not a person in here that's naked. There's not a person here that couldn't go home and change clothes 20 times, probably, and still have clothes left over. And most importantly, if you are a Christian, you have had things done for you that no one else could have possibly done. And I'm afraid that too many times we just run down the street and not turn around and go back and say thank you. You know, the devil's going to do his very best to get off of your mind the things that God has done for you. He is going to constantly tell you just how bad things really is in your life. And you know, he succeeds a lot. You know, there's a big difference in someone who is a pessimist and someone who is an optimist. The pessimist is the devil's child. Because all the pessimist is going to do is look for something that is bad, even though their life may be marvelous. They're going to look for that one little bitty thing that they can bark about. The devil's going to tell you, that's how you need to be. Don't be thankful to God. Think about what he didn't do. Think about what he hasn't done yet. And he's going to tell you that everything is wrong in your life. It's only when you begin to realize just how much the Lord has blessed you that you will truly begin to be thankful. An unthankful Christian is a defeated Christian. Second thing to note is this one man's, his priority of gratitude. Now, when he saw that he was being healed, he turned around. Now, the Lord had given him the command, just like the other nine, go see the priest. The priest is going to declare you clean, and then you can go back to society. You can go back to normal living, and that's what all of them wanted. But he stopped, and he turned around, and he went back. Now, why didn't the Lord rebuke him for that? When he ran back, why didn't Jesus say, hey, you need to be with the other nine. Why did you come back here? You need to go to the priest just like the other ones are. Because this man realized a priority of who had done this for him. Y'all remember, you have to remember how many times I stress to this congregation the importance of worship. That it is not a choice of whether I want to or don't want to. It is a command. Forsake not. That is a command, folks. That is not a do it if you want to. How many times in stressing that do we understand that when we do come together, we're not doing it to be seen. We're not doing it because those on this side of the room can see us over here on this side of the room. We are doing this to bring glory to God. And I got to tell you, friends, I would hate to stand before God and him tell me that I did not bring him glory. And I'm afraid that's going to be a fate for a lot of Christians. It's because they decided within themselves, I am not going to worship him and give him glory. That's why Jesus didn't rebuke him for this. He is giving glory for what has happened for him. I believe this man fully intended to do what Jesus said to do. He was going to head straight to that priest's house or wherever the priest was at that time. He was going to obey that command, but he felt obligated to say thank you for someone who had done for him what no one else could have done for him. Let me tell you, friends, if you don't give thanks to God for his blessings, it won't be long until your obedience to God just becomes a job. That may be the case already for some. Some of you may be here today because, well, I was expected to be here today. My name was on the sheet to do something today, so I had to come today. Giving proper thanks and praise to God is not bound upon what we are obligated to do. It should be bound upon our love, our faith, and our desire to honor him. The third thing I want to make note of is the fact his perfection in his gratitude. He drew near to where the Lord was, and he glorified God. The Greek word here means that he made the Lord glorious. Isn't that what we're doing this morning? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing this morning? Making the Lord glorious? He fell down before Jesus in perfect submission and gave him thanks. He had received something that the others did not receive. Now, they were all 10 healed of their leprosy. But he received something more. He received within himself the desire to praise God. And you know, something tells me that the rest of his life, he remembered that day. I just wonder how many times the other nine thought about that day and thought about what God did for them. Oh, and we may be like that as well. When we see something that happens good for us and we all thank the Lord for that, and we've all done that before, haven't we? Thank the Lord. That's probably the one and only time that you'll ever thank the Lord for anything. It should be a daily thing. He had the faith not to just be healed. He had the faith to praise God. My friends, we need to have the faith every day of our lives, not just to be blessed by God, but to be thankful to God for our blessings. In closing this lesson, I want to say to you and to me, we are a blessed people. And we all know it. We may not all think about it all the time, but we have to know that we are a blessed people. Not so much because of the physical things that we have. And like I said, none of us go without. But because of the spiritual blessings. The clothes that we're wearing on our back right now will someday be torn and tattered and rotten. And we'll have to get new clothes, which someday will be torn and tattered and rotten. The car that we now drive will someday rust away, be put into a junk heap, or maybe melted down to make something else. The house that we live in now is someday going to be completely gone. But you and I, my friends, the soul within us is going to continue somewhere. And how we deal with God will determine where that somewhere is. And if you don't have a thankful heart for what God does for you, well, like I said earlier, I don't want to stand in your shoes. We need to be thankful because we are a blessed person. God's greatest gift to us, of course, was His Son, who made it possible for us to receive eternal salvation. There may be those here this morning who have never experienced coming to the Son for eternal salvation. You can do that today through obedience to the gospel of Christ. There may be Christians here this morning who have left your salvation for things of this world. You can get it back by coming back to the Lord, putting your faith in Him once again, saying thank you to Him once again because He's going to save you all over again if you will respond to Him this way. We are a blessed people. Be like the one, not the nine. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we sing this song.